Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The word of God for our meditation this evening are the words from Matthew chapter 4. We've heard them read already. We'll hear them again shortly. Friends in Christ. It's this little boy, he shakes his mother awake. Mom, you gotta see this. I gotta show you. She opens one eye and groans when she looks at the clock. It's not even 5:30 in the morning. Sweetheart, I'm on vacation. I get to sleep in. Go back to bed. So he refines his argument some and says, Mom, Mom, Mom. And she rolls over, covers her head with her pillow. And so the boy walks out of the room. As he's closing the door, she hears this little voice say, okay, but you're gonna miss it. So she gets out of bed, stumbles down the stairs, through the patio door, finds her little boy on the pier in his pajamas, sits down beside this grinning child, and it just takes her breath away. The glow on the horizon, and these spreading, slowly spreading arms of light. And then the first sliver of pure gold, lighting up more and more of this shimmering path and the surface of the lake, all the way to that tiny fellowship. I told you, he says, and she says, yes, you did. And I tell that story because the mood is right. To engage with a scripture like what's here in Matthew 4, you want to catch the mood of the text like a contagion, like a disease, the sun that rose over Galilee after a night is too deep to contemplate. You can't miss the joy. Matthew will go on and talk to us about Jesus wading out into a sea of misery. He wrote it this way. People brought to him those, listen, suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed. And he healed them. Matthew writes with such restraint, but to even imagine it for a moment, it can only be tears of joy and happiness and people shouting and hugging whoever's closest and jumping, I don't know, crying, laughing. Jesus giving people back their lives. Jesus giving people back to people, smiling like the sun. It is not to be missed. And few did. Matthew says huge crowds, huge, followed him wherever he went after this. Huge. And in all of this, Matthew says, there's also Jesus calling his first disciples. It's John that gives us this marvelous exchange. So Jesus turns around to see that Peter has been following him. And Jesus says, what do you want? And Peter doesn't have the words. He blurts out, where are you staying? Come and see. Then Peter shows us there on the mountain. All those he chose, they're all around him. He's looking at them, and in the first word out of his mouth is blessed, blessed, nine times blessed. It doesn't feel that way, how blessed you are when you see your poverty. How blessed you are when you grieve over yourselves. The Father is doing a fine and a great thing for you. How blessed are you? How heaven smiles when you hunger and thirst for things to be otherwise than they are with you, who have no righteousness. Blessed are you when you are meek, can't even lift up your eyes, because yours is the kingdom of heaven. It's yours. It's yours. So when Jesus first moved to Capernaum, up north, on the north side of the beautiful, beautiful lake, began to take up the sermon where John the Baptist had left off. It comes to Matthew, you know, Isaiah saw this day. Isaiah saw this day. Isaiah said, "Land of Zebulun and Naphtali, the way to the sea along the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned." There's no more powerful way to say this. A rhetorical scholar would call these archetypal metaphors. That just means images that transcend culture. Images that penetrate every time and place. Everybody knows what it is to be in the dark. Everybody knows what light is. Everybody knows how they sit their whole lives under that death shadow. Everybody knows the dawn. Everybody. Everybody. What better way to say it? What probably would have struck the Jewish ears, though, is most astonishing, is this bit about a Galilean sunrise. Galilee. I mean, from the very prophet in the very book that had condemned that nation as too far gone and promised their destruction, that very same prophet then sees a later day. You might as well call them pagans, Galilee of the Gentiles. You might as well. All the influence of the world around them that they just gave themselves to, you might as well call them pagans. And a Galilee of the Gentiles came that summer day. It's another kind of restraint, I suppose, from Matthew. He could have read further in Isaiah's prophecy. A couple verses later, he could have told us who this is. You know, unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. The remarkable mystery that pokes the surface of that text. This one who comes will be, in one way, born. Like anybody comes into the world, born. But in another way, not born, as if coming to exist for the first time. No, given. Child is born, a son is given, and the mystery of who Jesus actually is will always strike our reason as a collision with how we naturally think who this Jesus is. Now, G.K. Chesterton said it this way. He said, allow one sun in your life. Allow one mystery too bright to look into. Allow one sun, one mystery too bright to look into, and it will light up everything. It will light up your whole world. That Jesus is your brother and the son of Mary and the Son of God. And he came to say, repent, kingdom of heaven is near. Well, just before this text is the part that isn't joy. It's where the devil is showing to Jesus all the kingdoms of the world and all of their splendor. So it turns out that there are alternative kingdoms. There are other versions of how this life can be lived. There are other versions of, and they all have their own kind of shine. You know, their own kind of splendor. Other things life can be lived for. Other things you can want out of life. And thank God for God. Jesus didn't fall for it, but we have. Don't you know what I can do for you? The devil says, don't you know what I can do for you? You can feel how you want to feel. You can be somebody in this world. You can have stuff. You can fit in. You can fit in. You can be comfortable. And we have done what is evil. May even be times it's like Psalm 73 all over again, where the psalmist looks around his world and he sees the arrogant. They're not meek. And he sees how carefree they are. They're not grieving. And he says, I almost lost my way envying that. I almost lost my way wanting that. But I entered the sanctuary, and then I understood. I understood. Don't envy them. I understood what their destiny is. All the kingdoms of this world all lined up in hostility against its Lord. There's no future here. There's a future, but it's not here. So the writer says, whom have I in heaven but you? Earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. And so we're in the sanctuary too, to come to our senses. We're here to confess. We're here to have some time in the dark. We're here to have some time in the dark like Peter that night, you know, when Peter had just had it with Peter. We're here to take that disappointing journey inside again, looking for worship that is worthy, looking for love that is pure, and finding no righteousness that is ours, none. We're here to hear again the sermon death is always preaching. We're here to contemplate for a moment that grotesque enemy. Contemplate the difference between the one who had you before and the one who has you now, and the difference. And to let this do to you what it ought to do to you, the difference. God saw this world what it was, and there was nothing to do about it. We gathered the whole thing into one awful spot. Crush it, kill it, send it straight to hell. That's all there was to do. And he did this in the body and soul of his own son. God doesn't have many gifts for you. Like love is one and joy is another and peace is... He has one gift. It's his son. And in that one gift is everything else contained. And so we're here to look at that death. And we're here to come again to the awful conclusion about ourselves, that this death is ours. Didn't happen to us, happened to his son, but it was ours. And just as he died, we die again to the world, die again to the world, to our sin. Again, alive to God. That's why we're here. In the sanctuary. How wide, how long, how high, how deep is the love of Christ? And the apostles said, oh, if you only knew how this would fill you. To think the night before he died that such a thing could run through his mind, to pray. The night before that hell, to pray. Father, let them know that you love them just as you love me. I in them, and you in me. Words that meet us in this form of overhearing, words that ask nothing of us. It's just what passes between the Father and his Son that night. Let them know, Father, that you have loved them as you've loved me. I in them, they in me. And so we have been welcomed in to the kingdom of the Son he loves. So the hymn comes on, Lord, thee I love with all my heart. I pray thee ne'er from me depart. With tender mercies cheer me. Earth has no pleasure I would share. Yea, heaven itself were void and bare if thou, Lord, were not near me. And I think, and you think with me, this is what I love. This is the only kingdom that matters. What is the world? This is what I love. This is what I want out of life. This reign of Jesus in my heart by pure grace, by his word, by his spirit. This is what I love. Let me love it more and more. Let me desire it more deeply. This is what I love. And so, Lord, thee I love with all my heart, the hymn goes, and my bride will always shoot me a look when this hymn comes on. Every time. And I'll give her a look back, and my look back, and my smile says, yes, sweetheart, I know this is your funeral hymn. I understand. I haven't forgotten. This is your funeral hymn. Got it. Every time. Too bad I'm going first. But maybe not. Maybe we arrived together in the flesh of that day that Malachi saw. A glow in the horizon, spreading wings of light in the first glimpse of that sun. The Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings. That's what he said. Rise for the last time and the final time, perpetually, on the world being made new. And healing in his wings means that we'll all get our turn at the shouting and the crying and the grabbing someone close to us and the hugging and the laughing and the singing. And no one misses anything when they're in Christ. And all will be healed. Whatever is still broken will be restored. And how my heart yearns within me with a joy that is desire. Okay, so this lake that my family knows pretty well, on the eastern shore, the eastern side, there's this rolling hills, okay? These rolling hills. If you get up early enough in the morning, you can run your boat past those hills. And what happens is the sun rises a few times. It comes up, it goes down again, then it comes up and it goes down again. Do you get that picture? As you drive through the low points and the high points on the hillside. Well, this is pretty valuable information if you're a dad of girls 4 and 7. Girls, get up, you gotta see this, I wanna show you this. And so you show them the sunrise. Wasn't that beautiful? And they say, yeah, wanna see it again? And their eyes go wide and you drive your boat to the next spot and you say, rise as the sun comes up. And my bride helped me to understand this is not something to be proud of. Girls, daddy doesn't make the sunrise. I just know where to put my boat. We're talking about going to church. To see it again and again and again and again and again. We don't make the sunrise. Not even the first part, the part about the sorrow. We don't do that. We don't manufacture that in ourselves. This is the Spirit of God holding you, not letting you go, not letting you slip past the reach of this grief, this poverty, this hunger. He makes you nothing so that he can love again the nothing that he's made in that sunrise moment called absolution. And you can see it again and again and again and again. But isn't it sometimes it still is as if I just never saw this before. It's like I've never really got this before. Forgiveness. It's a fresh act of God, this absolution, a fresh act of God. Jesus intervenes again with his gospel, taking all that he has and all that he's won and all that he is and pouring it out freely to you again. This news from another country that is keeping us alive to God, keeping us awake when the world wants to sleep in. Our King, the only King, turns to those who follow him. Smile like the sun. What do you want? A poet named George MacDonald found the words. He said, thou art my life, O Christ, and nothing else will do. Amen. Please stand. And may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please be seated.